Independent journalism needs protection, now more than ever. Leaving a gift to TPR in your will helps ensure thoughtful, fact-based news has a future in Texas. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The world's oldest recipe is considered to date back to 1730 BCE, an ancient Babylonian recipe preserved on a tablet for a Mesopotamian lamb stew. Preserving our foodways is a way of preserving culture and traditions. Today's recipes are shared through cookbooks, online recipes, and popular TV shows. A Mexican cookbook collection housed at the University of Texas at San Antonio provides an intimate look at domestic life and culture in Mexico from 1789 to the present day. The archives consist of thousands of historic cookbooks, cookbooks written by celebrities, collections of Mexican spirits, and much more. Amy Rushing is the Associate Vice Provost of Special Collections at UT San Antonio. Fronteras producer Maria Navarro had a chance to talk with Rushing about the collection and with Mexican chef Patty Hinich. Hinich is a cookbook author and hosts Patty's Mexican Table on PBS. Hinich was in San Antonio last month to help fundraise for UT San Antonio's Mexican cookbook collection. Rushing talks to Marianne about the origins of the collection.
Well, about 500 volumes, titles, were donated by a librarian, public librarian named Lori Grunbeck, in, I think it was 2010, and she traveled all over Mexico. She loved food, so she would pick up cookbooks during her travels. And when she retired, she decided that she really wanted this collection to be accessible to students and the public. And so she chose UTSA Special Collections as the home for her collection. And then over the years, we really saw the value in the collection in terms of teaching and inspiration for the community, for the UTSA community. And we started growing the collection. And it has turned out to be one of our most well-known collections. And we're really honored to be the stewards of that collection.
And what kind of recipes, as an example, come to mind when you think of the cookbook collection?
Well, the oldest cookbook we have is from 1789, and it's a handwritten recipe book. And from there, it goes all the way up to the present. And I would say that we're very strong in regional cooking. We have almost all of the cookbooks of Josefina Velasquez de Leon. People may not know who she is, but she was Mexico's first celebrity chef. She had her own radio show, a television show. She had a publishing house. She published probably 155 cookbooks. She had a cooking school. And this was in the 1930s. And she was doing this all on her own up until probably the 60s. So to be able to have those cookbooks, which were kind of mass-produced, they're paperbacks, so they don't always survive. And she's gotten a lot of attention lately, which I think is great. You know, and she documented all of the regions of Mexico. She went to every state, and a lot of her cookbooks are about that. So she really brought that to the forefront, and it's pretty fortunate that we have almost all of her cookbooks in the collection. We have almost all of the 19th century cookbooks that were published in Mexico. The first cookbooks published in Mexico are from 1831. And you name it, it's in there.
Patty, turning to you, you've traveled all over Mexico and the borderlands as part of Patty's Mexican Table, which is your show on PBS. And during your travels, you take a look at the food that makes the region what it is, whether it's the borderlands of Mexico and Texas or further into Ciudad Mexico.
I'm traveling the Texas-Mexico border from far west Texas to the Gulf of Mexico. breaking myths and misconceptions about the communities that live and thrive here.
¿Por qué querías abrir en Estados Unidos?
Porque siempre he buscado el sueño americano y que tuviera éxito en Estados Unidos. Abrimos el primero y fue un éxito tremendo desde el primer día.
How have you seen in your travels that food connects us to our rich histories and our cultures and our traditions that we see through UTSA Special Collection Mexican Cookbook Collection? So how does food connect us to those aspects of history, culture, and tradition?
Marianne, thank you for having us today. I really see this cookbook collection as a beating heart of Mexican cuisines and culture because to me, there's no more noble space in sharing who we are and how we evolve than in the recipes that we cook and the food we eat. Food is here before we get to this earth, and food is here after we leave. And by food, I mean the recipes that are passed on. So it's such an important, like, DNA, bridge-building element of the human life that I think just being able to open up these cookbooks from 5 centuries ago, it's like being in a magical realism, like alchemist lab. It's you can feel the history, but most importantly, if you want, you can recreate it and eat it. And that's pretty much magical.
And I think it's so interesting because, Patty, you kind of mentioned food is so much more than just food. It's so much more than just what you eat, but it can also be a mechanism for storytelling and a mechanism of keeping, you know, my abuela's recipe alive and these memories that I have of family members, et cetera, alive. So what have you seen in terms of how food connects us and how recipes can connect us to other stories and to elements of storytelling?
Yeah, I mean, for me, food is my love language, and I think it is of many people and many communities. And it is not only the last resource to communicate, but it can be truly the soft power that helps communicate. When there's gridlock in society, when there's gridlock in communication, when there's gridlock and there's polarization, when people can't see eye to eye, when there's division, or when there's a barrier because of language or because of generational jump or whatever it may be, food helps you connect in ways that words don't. So say you and I have opposing views on all of the important themes and topics that we care about, and we stand on opposing sides. But for whatever reason, I'm able to taste the soup that you make from your abuela. And you made it, and by you making it, you already connected to a deep, vulnerable part of yourself and your history. And by you putting it in front of me and by me taking a bite or a spoonful of that soup, we're already connected, and I already accepted and approved whatever it is that you're sharing with me. So there's just things that can't be fixed or communicated with words. And that's just one of the flaws of humanity. And here comes food to kind of save us all and help communicate and help build bridges. There's many times when I've been able to taste something in a very far away, removed place. And just by taking a bite, I understand the people that gave it to me much more than them trying to explain.
Patty Hinich is a cookbook author and hosts Patty's Mexican Table on PBS. Fronteras producer Maria Navarro is talking to Hinich and with Amy Rushing of the UTSA Special Collections about Mexican cookbooks and the university's famed Mexican cookbook collection, the largest in the U.S. When we come back, when it comes to the borderlands, recipes take on their own personalities.
You know, it doesn't have to explain if it's truly authentically from south of the border or truly authentically from north of the border, because the word authentic kind of takes a step aside.
The conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The earliest known published cookbook on Mexican cuisine is on display at the UT San Antonio Library Special Collections. It dates to 1828 and features recipes divided into courses from soups and salads to main dishes to desserts. The oldest cookbook in the Mexican cookbook collection dates to 1789. It's a delicate, worn, and water-stained handwritten manuscript of main courses, sides, and desserts. The collection also contains an assemblage of recipes for Mexican spirits and actor Danny Trejo's cookbook of, quote, badass recipes, like low-rider donuts. Maintaining and digitizing this collection requires special care and lots of money. UT San Antonio hosts a fundraiser every year called Ven a Comer, or Come to Eat. This year's special guest was chef, cookbook author, and TV host Patty Hinich. Her PBS shows, Patty's Mexican Table and La Frontera, tie into preserving history and culture through food, a mission reflected in UT San Antonio's cookbook collection. Frontera's producer, Maria Navarro, had a chance to talk with Hinich and with Amy Rushing, Associate Vice Provost of UTSA Special Collections, which houses the cookbook collection. Hinich says she was pleased that the UT San Antonio fundraiser placed an emphasis on the border, La Frontera.
Talk about a region that has been narrowly defined and misunderstood and stigmatized and has gifted the world with such amazing treasures. If you think about foods that have come from La Frontera, of course, you have the Caesar salad from Tijuana that you can find anywhere in the world. You have the nachos that came from Piedras Negras. You have the burritos from Ciudad Juarez. So food, it's just a window to show the incredible treasures that have come from the U.S.-Mexico borderlands, even from before there was the political line that is drawn today on the map. The people that are in La Frontera, which is really like a third culture, you know, not from here, not from there, from everywhere, and reaching the entire world at the same time.
And Patty, kind of expanding on what you were just saying about La Frontera being such a unique place and having the foods that come here be so unique. We're in a region that has a cuisine that is known all over the world, I feel like, all over the United States. And what UTSA Special Collections is trying to do is trying to elevate those flavors. And so what sticks out to you as having that series that you had on PBS La Frontera, what makes borderland and Mexican cuisine so special to you and overall in general so special?
Yeah, I have such a soft spot for the borderlands, Maria, and I think that is food that is unapologetically delicious.
One of Oscar's favorite spots in Ciudad Juarez is Menudería Yetos. He tells me there's something different about this classic Mexican dish here at the border.
So many differences between the menudo I grew up with in Central Mexico, not only the seasoning with the chile colorado, but also I love the contrast with the crunch of the corn.
Yeah.
And the chewy of the tripe.
You know, it doesn't have to explain if it's truly authentically from south of the border or truly authentically from north of the border, because the word authentic kind of takes a step aside. If you think about the nachos, the original nachos from Piedras Negras had corn tortilla chips and had Colby government cheese, because that's what the border cities bartered and shared with each other. So that was genuine and true for the nachos that were made then and deeply and truly Mexican. So I think the food from the borderlands is just delicious. It's food that everybody loves, even though people can't truly agree, is it from here, is it from there? But it is from both countries. It belongs to both countries. And it is food that is unpretentious, that's in its simplicity, it's beautiful and it's classy and it's feeling and very family friendly. Also very easy to take along, very easy to repurpose. It's just, I think it's wholesome soul food from the U.S.-Mexico borderlands. And if you think about ingredients, for example, the oregano from Nuevo León, from the town of Higueras, or the comino, the cumin from Nuevo León, it has a different flavor than from the oregano or the cumin that you can get from the Mediterranean or from other places, or the flour tortillas from the borderland, which are made by hand and can be made with tallow or fresh lard or even sumptuous butter. But I think it's in the details of the techniques and the beauty of the unique ingredients that come from the region. The Mennonite Chihuahua cheese with its very distinct personality, incredible meltability. And I think people tend to take for granted those ingredients that are just different from everywhere else.
And Amy, looking at this Mexican cookbook collection, UTSA Special Collections has worked to preserve, to digitize these recipes. How important is it to continue this process in preserving these recipes and these stories within the collection?
We want to make sure that they're available for the future and not just for our current students and community members who want to view the collection. The preservation is a huge part of that, as well as the digitization. You know, we want to break down barriers, any sort of obstacles, because we understand that people cannot always travel to special collections. Our friends in Mexico, we want them to be able to access them as well. So we have a pretty robust digitization operation, and we've been starting with digitizing the manuscript cookbooks, which are often fragile. So I mentioned the 1789 manuscript cookbook, the handwritten recipe book. So those, we've been starting with those, but we're starting to dip our toe into the published cookbooks from the 19th century. There's always a balance between preservation and access, and I feel that access is supremely important. So to do that, then we need to make sure that we have the proper measures in place to preserve them. Sometimes we're able to send books off for conservation. And I just want to mention that, you know, the whole impetus for Venacomer was it's a fundraiser. That's what it is. And it's a crucial source of funding for us. We use that for purchasing new books and conservation, digitization. And when we started Venacomer, I think our collection was around 1,300 books, and now we're at almost 3,000 books. So it really does make a difference. It takes a village, but it's been so amazing to see the collection come to life through an event like this.
And Amy, how have you seen San Antonio, the public, but also chefs utilize the collection and deep dive into it? What have you seen since the collection has been at UTSA Special Collections in terms of how people interact with it?
We've seen everyone from chefs, for example, Rico Torres and Diego Galicia from Mishli are coming in every time they are working on a new menu. They draw major inspiration from the collection. We've had food historians come in. We've had the public come in. And we also make a really big effort to bring the cookbooks out into the community. We feel that that's important, that we're not just having them in the vault for the vault's sake. They need to be out and used, and people need to see them. And sometimes the community may not feel like they want to come out to campus, or maybe that they don't, that it's not for them, but we do bring them out to different events. And our students as well, our faculty members have used the cookbooks in a variety of ways, everything from a writing class to a class on learning the history of Mexico through food. So it's an amazing educational tool for coming at it from a variety of different angles.
And Patty, have you gotten the chance to look through some of the collection? And if so, what are your thoughts?
Yes, and it's absolutely incredible, Marianne. You know, the team came here to Washington, D.C. and had an exhibit at the Mexican Cultural Institute with just some of the volumes that they had. And it gave me goosebumps, really, to be able to touch those books, to open those pages It's incredible to look at recipes that were written, you know, so many hundreds of years ago, and the way they were written and the things that were said. You know, today we have the precise measures of 1 teaspoon, 1 tablespoon, and then it was like you grab a bunch of, or a bucket of, or a pinch of, or eyeball this or eyeball that. And it's really incredible. And for me, something that's an amazing challenge is to adapt those recipes to today. I mean, you want to eat those foods and have a taste of the past. And that just gives you a different dimension in which to appreciate and understand history with your full senses. It's just pretty incredible. So I'm hoping that the collection continues to grow and that they can put all of this incredible content at the fingertips of anybody who wants to access and make those sweet and sour meatballs with pine nuts and olives from 150 years ago. It's incredible.
Paty Hinich is a Mexican chef, cookbook author, and host of the PBS series Paty's Mexican Table and La Frontera. She was talking with Frontera's producer, Maria Navarro, about the Mexican cookbook collection housed at UT San Antonio's Special Collections. Marianne also spoke with Amy Rushing, Associate Vice Provost for UTSA Special Collections. UT San Antonio is a financial supporter of Texas Public Radio. Paty Hinich was a featured speaker at the Ven a Comer fundraising event for the Mexican Cookbook Collection, the largest such collection in the U.S. You can find a link to the Mexican Cookbook Collection and see images from the Ven a Comer fundraiser at tpr.org. You've been listening to Fronteras. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.